October 26, Gopastami 2009, Sri Radhakund, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This chapter, Division 1, Chapter 2, Text 297-298. Kamanuga bhavet trishna kama rupa anugamani sambhogecha mayi tat tad bhavi chatmit iti sadvida. The elements of Kamanuga, this is the type of Raghunuga Bhakti which follows in the footsteps of the Kamanuga devotees, the Ragatmika. He says, that Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti, which is filled with longing and which follows after the Kamarup Ragatmika Bhakti of the Siddha Bhaktas, is called Kamanuga Bhakti. There are two types, Sambhogecha Mayi and Tad. Tat tat bhavich atma. Atma. Means itcha. Bhavicha atma. Shiva Goswami's commentary. Bhakti that is filled with the thirst for following in the wake of the Kamarup devotees of Braj is called Kamanuga Raghunuga Bhakti. So this is kind of reminding us of what we heard before. Now it's talking about the specific type of Raghunuga Bhakti which follows us. Kamanuga Ragatmika Bhaktas, which means the Vrajagopis. In Raghunuga Bhakti, within the heart, the devotee is inspired to please and serve the Lord out of a natural liking. If you like someone, then that liking that you have will inspire you to act. If you have no liking for someone, you may be prodded or induced or encouraged to do some activity, but that will not last. That's like Vaidhi Bhakti. Sometimes by the pushing of Shastra, the rules and regulations of Shastra, we're induced or we're convinced to act in a certain way. And we may continue for some time. But because we don't actually have rag, it's not heartfelt or heart attracted. Our hearts are not attracted, or our hearts have not been captivated by the activity with a natural liking. We may not be able to sustain that Vaidhi sadhana. But in Raghunuga Bhakti, it's more powerful than Vaidhi Bhakti. Although in Braj, Krishna's activities, they inspire everyone to work. There's no government here. There's no government in Braj. There's no police force. There's no government. Everyone just moves organically and naturally because of their liking to serve and please Krishna. In Mathura and Dwarka, there's a government, there's management. It's very interesting. If you look at Krishna in Mathura or in Dwarka, King Ugrasena is there, and there's someone, and there's the Sudharma Assembly House. They don't have anything like that in Vrindavan. The closest thing you have to the Sudharma Assembly House is Nanda Baitak. Nanda Baitak is in Nandagaon. And it's simply, there's some place where, Baitak means sitting place. It's not the Sudharma Raja Sabha or the assembly place. All kinds of formal chairs and tables and parliamentary procedures and this type of thing. And Nanda Baitak, and there's just one banyan tree there, at least there was. And Nanda Maharaj and some of the elders and fathers of the different gopas, and Bano Maharaj and others, Sunanda, Abhinanda, and Nanda Maharaj and his brothers, they would sit there on the Brajaraj and they would simply talk about Krishna's pastimes, and they would laugh and joke and remind each other of Krishna. And every once in a while they would discuss some matters. But there's no description of any type of government or managers or hierarchical positions of government as we find in descriptions of Krishna and Mathura and Dwarka. So this is the best government. Where everyone, imagine a government where everyone is working happily without pay and without vacation. Imagine a government or a country where everyone, imagine some country, which means it's run by some government. Everyone is working very hard and there's no vacations and no one's being paid. Well, that's Vrindavan. And Krishna's Vrindavan, everyone's working very, very hard for the pleasure and satisfaction of Krishna. But no one's getting paid. No one's getting paid and there's no vacations. We don't read about Radha and, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda going online and booking some tickets for a weekend getaway. And people in Delhi and the cities advertise in the newspaper, weekend getaway, because you work from Monday to Friday. And Saturday and Sunday you want to get away. Get away from the humdrum life of the city and the boring workday activities. So when you book a weekend in Singapore or Hong Kong or somewhere, get away weekend. Nanda Maharaj, they don't want to get away from Krishna. No one wants to get away from Krishna. Get away weekends. They don't want to get away from Krishna for an emesha, even for the blink of an eye. Yagayatam nimesha na chakshusha pravashayadam. If Nanda Maharaj is separated from Krishna for the blink of an eye, he finds it unbearable. He becomes desperate. He starts to cry. The same with Radharani or Sridham or Subal. They all the same, Iraktak, Patrak. So they want to get with Krishna, not get away from Krishna, get to Krishna. They want to be with Krishna at every moment. This is the Vrindavan government, that everyone feels like this. So only in Raghunuga Bhakti, in Rag, there's supreme intense attachment. It captivates one's mind. Then it's easy. They can easily work for Krishna. They call it work, because it looks like they're doing work. They're milking a cow. They're churning yogurt into butter. They're sweeping their floors. They're making garlands. They're walking all around the fields, picking flowers, or climbing trees to pick fruits. And doing so many activities to serve Krishna by collecting fruits and flowers and cooking for him and kneading flour and rolling chapatis. And it's work. It looks like work. Work means expenditure of energy. So they're expending energy, but for the pleasure of Krishna. And so their bodies are just moving automatically and willfully in accordance with their rag, with their intense captivation and attraction for Krishna. They're not thinking, oh, now I have to go to work. Now I have to do this. This phrase doesn't exist in the Brijvasis. In Vrindavan, I have to go to work. I have to go to Mangalartik. Oh, it's Ekadasi. I have to fast. They're simply doing what they want to do. What they want to do is love Krishna and serve Krishna. It is their natural want. It is their natural movement. They don't know any other movement. Just like in the body, there's voluntary muscles and involuntary muscles. So the heart, we have no conscious control over the movements of our heart. The heart is just moving. According to the length of your life, the heart will keep moving, and finally one day it'll stop moving when your karma is over. The Brijvasis, they're like the hearts of Krishna, devotional hearts, and they're always pumping, they're always moving. They don't think, oh, I need a rest, oh, I have to do this. The heart is only moving 24 hours. Now, this is the Brijvasis. So Vishwanath gives his commentary on this, Kamanuga Raghunuga Bhakti. That bhakti which exhibits an eagerness to follow after the Kama Rup Bhakti of the Brajajanas is called Kamanuga. Previously, the word Kama Rup was used in relation to Siddha Bhakti to indicate activities inspired by conjugal prema. The word Trishna or thirst used in relation to the Sadaka Bhakti should also mean actions inspired by the same conjugal prema. That bhakti which is filled with activities that follows in the footsteps of the gopis' actions, which are inspired by kama or conjugal prema within them, and inspired by a similar or prominent love thirst in the sadhaka, is called kamanuga bhakti. There are two types of activity, those in the mind, consisting of thoughts, and services consisting of actions of the external senses. This verse in 297, it says, Kamanugavit Trishna Kama Rupanugamani. Rupanugamani. So this word, anugamani, means an intelligent following, not a false imitation. It means pure subordination and obedience to the favorable ways of the thinking of the Brajagopis. So what is Kamanuga Bhakti? This means actions that are guided by the thirst of passionate desires which are subservient and in the wake of the actions of the Brajagopis for the absolute pleasure of the transcendental senses of Krishna. Anugamini. It means the same as anusarani, following after, anusarani, and not anukaran, imitating. One should follow after the gopis in the sense of accepting the gopis' sentiments. It does not mean that one should do everything that they do. Such actions are of two kinds, mental services in this Bhav Bhumi, this is the term it's used, Bhav Bhumi, which is the world of thought, the thought world, and services rendered by the physical senses. Now there's another commentary here, and this particular book, this other edition, 309, will explain all this, summary all this also. If all the actions, the question may be raised, if all the actions of a devotee in the stage of spiritual practices in the Kamanuga aspect of Raghunuga Bhakti are actually in accord with the actions of the Brajagopis, why then do such devotees not offer worship to the sun god as the gopis did? Like we see the gopis went to Suryakund. They did a very elaborate Surya Puja every day, especially on Sunday. So we're following the gopis, and these are the Kamanuga Ragatmika Bhaktas, then we should also do like they do. And should a devotee offer such worship to the sun god, it will fit in the very fundamental conception of Uttama Bhakti. Again, then why did great saints and devotees like Rupa and Sanatan offer prayers and observe fasting on Ekadasi and other such fasting days, even though the gopis never did such a thing? I mean, it's the Nitya Siddha gopis. To refute such arguments, Jiva Goswami explains, what is the meaning of anuga, to follow? He says that such questions cannot rise at all because the use of the word anugamani in this text actually means anusarani, which means an intelligent following or a purposeful going after. It does not mean anukarani, false imitation. In other words, if one is to submit himself to the Brajagopis in Madhurya Ras with the aspiration to become Mandri or whatever, then this means he should become subordinate or subservient and obedient to the favorable ways of thinking of the gopis, all the actions of the thirst for passionate desires. And the gopis is only possible for them alone. So we're just following their mood, their bhav, not that we're imitating their particular services. So then the author makes a comment that sometimes people try to follow the gopis. We even see in Gaudiya Vaishnavism where people think that their Raghunuga Bhakti will be helped if they dress as a gopi. I don't see that much nowadays. People are a little more sober. Back in 1940s and 30s, it was very common for some devotees to dress like that. So it's basically developing this intense mood. This is the Kamanuga aspect. Samboga Ichamayi and Bhavichat Mikti. This is the two aspects. Now he's going to explain which aspect is actually applicable. There's Samboga, Kamanuga, which means that devotees, they want to actually, it's almost like Nimbarkis, they want Nayaka Bhav. They want conjugal love, they want Madhurya Bhav, they want to be Sakis, but they actually want to follow Lalita and Vishak and others who are having direct union with the Lord. So we'll hear about that next. This is in 299. Keli tatparyavat yeva sambhogecha mayi bhavet tadbhavech Atmika tasam bhava madhurya kamita. Sambhogicha. It's very easy to figure out what that means. Icha means desire. Icha Dvesha Samutena Dvandva Mohina Bharata. Every living entity is born into this world due to desire and envy or hatred. He has these qualities within him. Sambhog means to desire enjoyment, bhog. And bhav, icha, atmika, means that we desire bhav, not bhog. We desire atma. With our atma, with our mind, with our heart, with our body, we desire a particular type of bhav. And that's the manjari. So first we're going to hear about this. These are two categories or two types of kamanuga, raganuga, sarana, bhakti. Sambhogecha mayi bhakti means sexual union with Krishna. It's characterized by enjoying conjugally with Krishna. And the second form is tad bhav ech atmika bhakti. This is desiring the sweet mood of love of the Kamarupa Siddha devotees. We desire the desire to attain a sweet nature, bhav, and the moods of the Braja Gopis who are directly serving Krishna. Not only gopis, but even a particular gopi. Not that we have or desire or aspire for direct union or conjugal union with Krishna, like Radha and Lita, Mashaka, and other gopis have. Jiva Goswami gives commentary. Sambhog Echakmayi means the prem union with Krishna, Radha and Krishna only. This means following those who are kama prayas, having a prominence of desire of giving direct conjugal enjoyment to Krishna. This is the type of bhakti whose very life is the desire for the particular rati of the damsels of Braj. This should be understood to be the main type of kamanuga bhakti. This is illustrated in the Bhagavatam. We read this verse already from the Shruti, prayers of the personified Shrutis. Sri Oragendra Boga Bhuja Danda Vishakta Diyo Vayama Pite Samasamadrisho Ungri Saroja Sudha. The Braja gopis were attracted to the arms of Krishna, which are like serpents, and attained the nectar of his lotus feet. We, the Shrutis, we have a similar mood, and attaining bodies like gopis, we also attained his feet. The word sambhog means conjugal enjoyment. So the sambhogechat atmayi has the aim of conjugal enjoyment with Krishna, keli tat pariyavat. And this is what we're given in the Gaudiya Sampradaya is, primarily is tat tat bhava echatmika bhakti, desire for the sweetness of the love of the Braja Gopis. So Vishnath, he gets a purport also. Sambhogecha mayi means bhakti consisting of two types of activities, which we mentioned, mental and physical, inspired by the desire for the direct experience of giving conjugal enjoyment to Krishna independently, like a Yukteswari, a leader of the group of gopis. This sambhogecha mayi means both desire and actions provoked by desire for independent amorous pleasures with the Lord. The divine beloved, in the same way as Yukteswari is like Chandravali, Radharani, etc. Chandrakanti. There's an example. In other words, there are examples in Padma Puran, and Prabhupada mentions in Nectar Devotion about someone named Chandrakanti. Chandrakanti was one lady, and she read about the gopis, that they had this conjugal relationship with Krishna, and they used to dance with him all night in the rasa dance. And she said, oh, I want to also have this intimate conjugal sambhog relationship with God, and I want to offer myself for his pleasure, and I desire this bhav, which is the bhava bhumi, and I desire this type of physical action, offer my body. So what did she do? She got one MP3 player, and she put on some music. She danced all night in the forest under the full moonlight. But maybe that's why she's called Chandrakanti, because her body took on the kanti of the full rays of the moon. But she danced all night under the full moon, and she was thinking, I'm dancing so wonderfully and so expertly and beautifully that Krishna will surely leave all the other gopis and come and dance with me. She had this bhav that the gopis are dancing wonderfully and enchantingly, charmingly, to please Krishna with their movements and mudras and expressions. And I'm dancing in a better way, a more attractive way, and Krishna is looking at me. He's looking at me. Actually, he's leaving the gopis to come to me. And she had this sankalpa, and she's holding this in her mind, dancing, dancing, dancing. And then, at the end of the night, Krishna took her body. She gave up her body, and she was given a gopi deha to dance with Krishna in the rasa dance. So this is an example of a sadhaka who followed the path of Kamanuga, Raganuga Bhakti, with this calm, Sambhogichamayi, with a desire for conjugal union with Krishna. This example is there by Rupa Goswami, and it's there in Padma Puran. It's told here also. But when we say this in Arpita Shriyam Chayat, that Lord Chaitanya has come to give something, his own Swabhakti Shriyam, that very beautiful essence of his own bhakti, or Radha's bhakti, which means devotion to Radha and service of Radha. This is the Bhavalas Rati, or a special type of loving mood, where we draw our line to the lotus feet of Radha in the mood of Manjris, or Manjri Bhav. So the Manjris Bhav is Bhav Ichatmika, not Bhog Ichatmika. We don't want Bhog, we want Bhav. Of course, they say without Bhog you can't have Bhav. They have a phrase, Pet Bolo Anande Bhaje Radha Govinde. So if your stomach, pet means stomach, bolo, full. If it's not bolo, B-H-O-L-E, if it's not full with prasad, then you can't do bhajan. But our line is, we have this desire, bhavicha. We want this bhav. It's called gopi bhav. Everyone's heard so many times. The story is there about Chandrakanti. The desire of a manjari for relishing a particular bhav of her yuteshri or gopi group leader, this is called tat-tad, means that. Tat-tad bhave-chatmika bhakti. This desire alone incites Kamanuga bhakti and is called this tat-tad bhave-chatmika Kamanuga Raganuga bhakti. There's some note we have on that also. Desire for sambhog means direct conjugal union with Krishna, like Radharani and the Astasakis. This is called Nayaka Bhav, the bhav or loving mood or feeling of a heroine or a conjugal beloved of Krishna. And Sakhi Bhav, a manjari or female attendant, finds her greatest happiness or bliss in creating favorable conditions for the prem union of the Nayak Sri Krishna and the Nayaka Radha. The desire or longing for relishing the sweetness and sweet sentiments or bhavas of the Brajagopis or Sakis of Radha towards Krishna is called Tat-tat Bhavichatmika. This is a very interesting phenomenon. The only equivalent of this in the material world is something called vicarious. Vicarious enjoyment is a strange thing, where someone sees someone else enjoying, and he enjoys by seeing someone else enjoy, or at least he tries to. Maybe out of frustration, or his inability to attain the same level, or intensity of pleasure. He projects. Probably this is what the whole movie industry is all about. Cinema, as we made the joke, the mother of sin, right? So we go to the cinema and we see these beautiful ladies and handsome men and that are so glamorous and so expert in speaking and so wealthy, and we're some poor rickshawala with no good features and no good money. But we watch, oh, this! Look at this guy. He's with this beautiful lady and actress and big fancy car. Then we think, yeah, I'm driving this big fancy car and I'm with this actress or whatever. And this way we're enjoying. We're getting our 100 rupees worth. We paid 100 rupees for the ticket. So we're enjoying it. The term is in English is called vicarious. I don't know, in, of course, in Russian, but we're not really doing anything. We're sitting in a theater chewing popcorn, and that's the material world. It's like the whole material world and all the pleasures of the material world is like dry popcorn with a little salt. Really, that's all it is. Take away the salt. If you take away the salt from popcorn and you think you're chewing styrofoam, because there's no difference between chewing styrofoam and popcorn except salt. Consistency and experience would probably be the same. This is vicarious enjoyment. This is very similar to this play acting or the meditation. Of course, there are some active services involved of the Manjaris of Vrindavan, but they're, because they're aligned with their servants of the Yukteswaris, Vishakha Sakhi, Lalita Sakhi, or Radharani, etc. And they're assistants, they're servants of Radha's bhav, they're servants of Radha's love, they're servants of Radharani Sambhog Leela. They are not direct participants or direct players. They are not the heroine or even secondary heroines or competing heroines. They're simply assistants. But that they're assisting the Sambhog Icha, they're assisting the Sambhog Leela of Radharani, how she's enjoying conjugal union and pleasure with Krishna and offering herself for Krishna's utmost enjoyment and relish. And the mantris bring them together, and then they fan them while they're in the kunja, or they bring them some tambal refreshments, some betel, or some cooling camphor-scented drinking water, or some cut up some fruits or make some nectar drink. On the spot, fresh nectar from forest fruits they bring them to relieve their fatigue and give them some energy. And then this way they're doing so many services. And the actual enjoyer in this arrangement is Krishna and Radha. They aren't the direct enjoyers, but they're enjoying what we would call vicariously, in an indirect way, in a secondary way. But it's not an imagined enjoyment. Vicarious enjoyment is imagined. You're watching a movie screen, your screen, and you're, oh, the hero is kissing the heroine. Oh, that's me. I'm imagining I'm kissing the heroine. But you're not really having any experience. It's only kind of an imagination. Or you see on the screen, there's some movie about some medieval king or something, and he's eating chapan bhog and enjoying himself. And he says, oh, I'm also eating chapan bhog. But you're going in the movie theater hungry, and you saw the king eating chapan bhog, and you came out of the movie theater, you're still hungry. But the mantris, when they're assisting in Radha Krishna's conjugal vilas, rati vilas, they feel completely satisfied. They feel completely fulfilled just by serving Radha and Krishna. This is the difference between something material and spiritual. In the spiritual plane, then everyone shares, and it's told in the most amazing description in Adi Lila, chapter 4, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna's Kaviraj is saying that the Manjaris, who are there, Kamanuga, and this mode of Kamanuga, Raganuga Bhakti, and they're serving the Sambhogi Chatmika Mai. They're serving Radha Krishna's conjugal pastimes. They're actually enjoying a million times more than the Nayaka. They're actually relishing a pleasure and happiness in the service a million times more than Radha and Krishna are experiencing. In the same way that Krishna is amazed by how Krishna and Radharani seem to be equal enjoyers in this intimate exchanges of conjugal love or Sringar Ras. But Krishna notices that Radharani, who is taking the subservient position or the enjoyed, and Krishna seems to be in the enjoyer position, Krishna notices that Radharani is relishing a happiness far superior to mine, and in her mood of submission and subservience and dedication, and that I'm supposed to be the enjoyer of all of that, but she seems to be enjoying more. and relishing more. This is captivating my mind. So then he's thinking, how can I taste? Krishna's thinking, how can I taste what Radharani's tasting? How can I experience the happiness that she's experiencing by serving me? It seems that by serving me and submitting herself to me, she's getting much more happiness than I am, as a quote-unquote the enjoyer. The servant is enjoying more than the enjoyer, or the servant's enjoying more than the master. It doesn't make sense. The servant cooks the food and brings it to the master, and the master's eating all the food, and the servant is just watching or offering it, but that he's enjoying more, and he's not even eating. It's a very strange thing. He says, oh yeah, take this and take this. You have another chapati, have another roti, have some more sabji, have some more chutney, have some more sweet rice. And only giving you, and you're saying, yes, 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 yes. And you think, I'm enjoying, and you're experiencing, you're enjoying. But then you see, oh, but this servant, his hair is standing in end, tears falling from his eyes, he's having all the septic bobs, and he hasn't eaten anything. And he won't eat until I'm finished, and whatever's left, if there's any left, then he'll eat something. So this is the same experience Krishna's having in the spiritual world. So therefore, he says, the only way I can understand this is if I become Radharani and get that bhav, because all happiness is experienced in a plane of bhav. It's not the body is the source of the happiness, it's the bhav. The bhav is what generates the happiness within the consciousness. So then Krishna becomes Gauranga Mahaprabhu to relish that. The desire of a manjari is for relishing the bhav. We want to relish the bhav of her Yukteswari. When Radharani, when Lalita Sakhi is serving, or Radharani, she is with Krishna, we're relishing that mahabhav, and we have that facility. The manjaris are given that access to the heart of Radharani. Because of their age, because of their mood, because of their devotion. So this is something about this Sambhogachai Ichamayi Bhakti and this Tad Bhavat Ichatmika. Tomorrow we'll do verse 300, which describes more about this, the mood of the mantras.